SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here into hour number two we go on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Two more hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A lot of football talk in this second hour and really from here on out until the middle of February. It is week number three of the NFL preseason. It starts on this Thursday with a doubleheader of action. Will you see your favorite stars and starters around the National Football League? More than likely, no. But if your team still has some job positional battles to figure out, maybe there is an incentive for NFL preseason week number three. And Donnie and I will talk a couple of the QB competitions that are still outstanding around the NFL to start off this second hour.
I'm excited, man. Like, talking a lot of football. I feel like now's the time of the year, Ben, that, you know, like us content, you know, providers come together and we don't even have to do any preparation. Like, we could just turn on the camera, have some fun, and let it rip. Like, it seems like an easy time of the year for us to not prepare for shows and still bring it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that, DRS. We are bringing it right now. We are getting ready for this season. I'm going to be honest. I was looking at the rundown. I didn't even hear what you had to say there. So I'm sure
I know.
It
went right over.
Pretty good.
What'd you say?
Do it again.
I'm basically happy that we don't have to prep or do any like pregame, postgame stuff. We can just let it rip at this point and have some fun. Like the work, like I figure, like once the Super Bowl ends, like you have to work really hard until football season. Then you just coast here. Isn't that what we all do in this industry? Like just, you know what? Hey, let's get after it.
So you're saying that football season is just an easier thing to talk about, although being more important and busier,
yes.
You spend less time getting ready for it.
Yeah. We don't need any prep work at this point now. We could just cruise. Turn that camera on. Let us loose. It's our time to shine. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, DRS. We're going to be in studio a lot during football season. The lights are bright. Yeah. They expect the most out of us. You know who would have hated that comment and not just ignored it because he was looking at other things? Old K-Dubs would not have been too happy. Bring it up on the money line today and see what he has to say. That was good, though. I just pulled a Donnie Wrightside to Donnie Wrightside making one of his bits and ignoring what you have to say live on national television and radio. All right, let's have a conversation, DRS, around the two quarterback jobs that are still outstanding in the National Football League. We have a hint of where both are going to go, who's going to be the week one starter for both the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but there are odds associated it with at least in one spot, or at least there were. We start New England. The odds are off the board for Jacoby Brissett and Drake May. Oftentimes, when the odds go off the board, it can mean one of two things, that either it is such a strong price and somebody is such a strong favorite, it is not worth associating odds with that market any longer, or there is such confusion, it is not worth the risk for the odds makers in this market to even post a number. When you see OTB for the Patriots, what's your first thought?
I fumbled the bag. Like, that's what it should say at this point. Like, that should be the initials there up there. Because the reason I bring this up is this is such an easy call for a head coach. Yeah, this is such an easy call for, you know, a coach and an organization to make. You're a football team, and deep down the Patriots know this is a rebuilding year. We didn't go out crazy in free agency. We don't expect to have a good team, but let's find out about our football team. If they came out day number one, we drafted Drake May. He's our future guy. We have Jacoby Brissett. Let's get something straight here. Brissett will be the starting quarterback for the majority of next year while Drake May learns on the fly. Drake May is going to be our franchise guy. We love what we see out of him, but we just think this is the best course of action to have him play. Do you see some of the quotes coming out right now from like Gerard May and that organization and talking to the quarterbacks themselves? They have no idea what's going on, which is the worst. Like, this should be the easiest spot because it's not like, oh my gosh, if I make the wrong choice here, we're going to miss the playoffs and can't win the division. Patriots, you're going nowhere. Just set the right direction so everybody understands and put the least amount of pressure on Drake May that you can actually have. That's what I'm like. This is the easiest scenario to come up with, and they're bungling it on a bad football team, Ben.
This time I listened to every word you had to say, and it was spot on. because the Patriots have a win total of 4.5. Does Gerard Mayo know that? I'm not entirely sure. Does Gerard Mayo take that into consideration? I hope not. You're an NFL head coach in your rookie year, trying to win as many games as possible, even if you are aware and realistic about what your true season outlook appears to be. But this year, success can mean many things for New England, starting a new era under Gerard Mayo after 24 years under Bill Belichick. You are trying to get younger. You are trying to get fresher. You are trying to put the building blocks in place for 2025 and beyond. And I think it would be mismanagement to put out Drake May early on in the season, not at some point, to start games and get that NFL experience. But from week number one, with the Patriots having the second most difficult schedule around the National Football League in a 7-game gauntlet, you would not wish on your most bitter rival around the NFL to start off 2024. It would be malpractice. It would be mismanagement to put your rookie quarterback out there when your expectations are not those of Caleb Williams in Chicago and have the onus and the blame placed on his shoulders. That's how you ruin his entire career outlook in the first 5 weeks of his NFL career. And early on, Donnie, what bungles the mind early on is Gerard Mayo did say the right things. We have Jacoby Brissett, a veteran around the National Football League that has been here in Foxborough before. He is the more pro-ready quarterback. He is the guy unless proven otherwise. What has he done? Thrown an interception during a preseason game? And what has the Patriots done throughout their preseason? They have played their four quarterbacks in both of their games. They reinserted Bailey Zappe last week against Philadelphia to try to win a preseason game. I have no idea what they are doing with the quarterback room, but it does not make me feel overly optimistic about Drake May's time in New England.
No, it doesn't. And also, you're right about that because, like, Joe Milton is there. And understand, we know how talented he is. Not ready to be an NFL quarterback just yet. But the reason you have preseason is to put guys in scenarios where it's like, let me see if this kid can actually succeed. And they basically told Joe Milton, hey, get out of the game. You're 2-7, 2-8, whatever you are. We're going to put Zappe in, who's probably going to make the team and not start, but see if Zappe can actually win this football game for us late. So some things they're doing, rookie head coaching mistakes. But we get back to the original point. This was the easiest scenario. Not a single, like, talk to a Patriots fan, talk to any fan of the NFL. They're not expected to do anything this year. The only goal is set the stewardship for a perfect season, meaning they might win 5 games or 4 games, but the direction has been set with your young quarterback. They just seem like they're flailing around right now. And also, let's not forget about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, they're trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk as their number one wide. I have no idea the direction that this actual franchise is going right now. I just don't.
We have said it many times. You will hear it many times throughout this season. New England's roster, regardless of who the quarterback is not highly talented. Again, I have argued that Bill Belichick's real crime in Foxborough the last few years, even after a 4-13 campaign in 2023, was his mismanagement as a front office personnel, not even as a head coach. Terrible drafting decisions that lost all the talent you had to build around and weird free agency moves, spending money in places that were not necessary. That is actually the worst of where I think Gerard Mayo has to pick up the bootstraps. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break because we spent a while on the Pats, but the Steelers, there is odds out there still on Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson, minus 520, as the favorite to be the week one starting quarterback for Pittsburgh. Justin Fields at plus 350. Donnie, do you agree with the odds makers on the FanDuel Sportsbook? Is Russell Wilson a very strong favorite to start game in week number one for the Steelers?
I can only go by what the head coach has been telling me, and that's Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben. He's been telling me no matter if Russell Wilson doesn't complete a pass, goes 0-for-19 with 19 interceptions in the preseason, he is the best choice at quarterback for our football team. That's what I'm going with right now. We'll talk about it after the break, but you're talking about the two teams right now, the Patriots and the Steelers. You can't have worse off seasons for setting direction of your 2024 football teams. Can't have it.
When there should have been just positivity, and there has not been. More quarterback conversations next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, a Thursday doubleheader that will kick off week three of the NFL preseason, the third and final week of preseason football. Because after this, Donnie, training camp really comes to a close. You have to make those crucial decisions. Who's a part of the active 53-man roster? Who is going to win position battles across your roster? And if you have a QB race to determine, that's first and foremost. We talked about New England. Now it's Pittsburgh. The Steelers have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. The odds makers expect that Russ will be the week one starter for the Steelers, a minus 520 price, plus 350 the number on Fields. You said, Donnie, you are trusting Mike Tomlin's word. I would have to agree. He has been adamant that Russell Wilson is the starter, and there's very little, even based on performance, that Justin Fields can do at the jump. I agree with the odds makers. I think it's Russ.
Yeah, minus 520 is a price point. Let's just understand how the NFL works here. Typically, if you're going to get a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, what are you paying for him, Ben? A lot in compensation for the draft picks and even more in compensation on the football field. You are basically getting Russell Wilson, a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. I'm not saying he's that right now, but in his career trajectory at roughly a veteran minimum salary. So you as an organization shouldn't have the obligation to say, hey, look, as a GM typically, I spent a lot for this quarterback, you know, Mr. Head Coach. You better put him out there or we're going to have issues between me and you. But when you get him at, I don't know, $1 million a year, maybe you could say, you know what, let's see what he has. If he doesn't, it's no big deal. We can toss him to the side. But I just get back to Russell Wilson and Fields on the same roster. And when I heard Fields was coming over, I said, you know what? This makes too much sense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to bring in two capable quarterbacks and let them do battle over the next 4 to 5 months to determine who the starting quarterback is going to be, and just may the best man win the job, and the guy who loses out, hopefully you push that starting quarterback to make sure he was better. But that's not what we got out of the Pittsburgh Steelers all the way through the offseason, Ben. We got, why are you asking me a question? Yeah, we just brought Justin Fields here, talking as if I'm Mike Tomlin. Why would you even ask me that? No, Fields has no chance to win. But why did you make the move? And he's on his final year, so you don't want him to compete for the job. You don't want him on the football field. So at the end of the season, you hope he just leaves? Why did you actually acquire the guy in the first place? Because I think everybody alike, Ben, saw that move and go, wow, you know what? Pittsburgh's like, you know what? Let's find out our quarterback here. Let's go this route and see who's going to win this. And Mike Tomlin, every step away, and also Ben, would be much different. If you were getting the reports that Russell Wilson has been nothing short of lights out from March all the way through to August 22nd, nobody would have an issue with this. But Russ came out in that preseason game and looked horrendous, like he lost a step, like he couldn't read the defense at that point. Now we're having issues, and Tomlin's like, why do you guys care about this so much for? I'm not answering your questions all the way down. It's Russell Wilson at this point. It's crazy.
I thought it was a win-win, Donnie, much like you. And I kind of baked in that Russell Wilson, the veteran, a little bit more proven. And again, a disastrous two-year tenure in Denver. But last year, Russ wasn't actually all that bad. More than 3,000 yards, as we shared, 26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. He wasn't prolific. Mm-hmm. He wasn't thrown for 250, 275 plus each and every week. But he wasn't bad. And I thought Russell Wilson at that level, not even the Russell Wilson of a couple years ago in Seattle, or even Justin Fields, and I've been a Fields guy for a long time, I still believe in his promise of playing quarterback at this level, would be an upgrade at the quarterback spot, maybe more so than the Steelers have seen the last 3 to 4 years, even the final year or two under Ben Roethlisberger. And you bring in Arthur Smith, we can debate his head coaching acumen, but a good offensive mind, a better offensive coordinator than Matt Canada, who was much maligned in the Steel City, was fired midway through last year. And you have a Steelers team that is consistently successful. So if the quarterback play was a little bit better, the Steelers are not only just a team that will win at least 8 games, but a true playoff contender from the very start, not just as a year develops, as it often does in Pittsburgh. And that just hasn't been the case. You look at Saturday against Buffalo. Buffalo didn't play their starters, and they won. They played their starters on defense. They won 9-3. The Steelers scored 3 points. Justin Fields and Russell Wilson each got 5 offensive possessions, which makes it seem like there is a quarterback race that continues, and it was only Fields leaving a field goal drive. He was also Pittsburgh's leading rusher. It just seems like a bad scenario now, where it felt like a win-win that now appears more to be a lose-lose.
It does. And also, maybe you're looking at GM Omar Khan at this point saying, all right, let's just take a look at the past couple of years of what we've been doing in Pittsburgh. Drafting Kenny Pickett as our franchise guy, throwing him out real quick and saying, you can't do this. Oh, yes, we're going to get Russell Wilson and we're going to get Fields in here, but not letting them start even on an even playing field, to say the least. And you're right about Justin Fields. Say what you want. You wish that Justin Fields leaving Chicago has to be real bittersweet for him, going like, you drafted me high up. I had a lot of expectations here. You gave me nothing to work with. Now I see Caleb Williams over there with three unbelievable wide receivers and an offensive coordinator that I'm ready to put work in. And now I'm here with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, again, have a solid offensive line. You have a good running game and a couple quality wide receivers, and I'm not even getting the chance to show my stuff right now. And we're not saying, Ben and I aren't saying here, start Justin Fields. That's a 12-win football team on the pathway to a Super Bowl. But it's just been an oddness going around the Steelers, where the minute you got both of these quarterbacks, we were told, why are you asking about Justin Fields? He's never going to see the field. And you're like, well, why did you actually get the guy? And we're never going to get those questions answered, apparently.
They traded a sixth-round pick that, depending on playing time, could become a fourth-rounder back to Chicago. There was a thought that Justin Fields might garner a first-round draft pick or a day-two draft pick in the deal back from the Bears. A lot of times, Donnie, we look at quarterbacks and we call them a bust for where they were drafted in the National Football League, never fulfilling the promise that they showed in college or worthy of that first-round selection. You can look at Justin Fields as the prime example of a situation being worse than the player. Never got the facilities in Chicago, did not necessarily perform at the level that was needed to forego a first round and first overall pick in Caleb Williams. I understand that. And now hampered here, where Justin Fields, in the final year of his contract, and the Steelers have not picked up his fifth-year option, is going to be a free agency, maybe to flounder around the National Football League, depending on what happens this year in the Steel City, despite what talent or promise he could still possess in the way that he plays quarterback. I feel bad for the guy. Now we're going to have a little fun. A new compartment, whatever you want to call it, has opened up on the FanDuel Sportsbook of some futures fusion, some match bets around the National Football League from FanDuel. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new category available to bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook ahead of the 2024 NFL season. That's Futures Fusion, basically a match bet that combines a couple of things around the NFL for what is going to happen this year in the National Football League. Here is one that combines the two teams in New York that play their professional games in New Jersey. It's the Jets and the Giants. What is more likely, DRS? The Jets win at least twice as many games as the Giants. It's a plus 110 price. Or in the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons win at least twice as many games as the Saints. It's a plus 270 price. What is a better bet?
Hey, by the way, fusion, Ben, not good for food. And if anybody goes, hey, we're going out to a fusion restaurant, just don't go to that restaurant, people. Don't do it here. Fusion for football, very, very good. Because, again, get your mind turning here. And these are two equal opportunities here that we're going to look at. The Jets to win at least twice as many games as the Giants, which means, again, you're just doing fundamental numbers in your head. Okay, what happens if the Jets have a good season? It's 12 wins, let's just say. Does that mean the Giants, you know, need to win six games or less? Because quite frankly, if you get 12 wins out of the Jets, I actually think that's going to be the case. But I don't know if I can bet it that way, because you sort of have the Jets around 10 or so, the Giants at 5. Yeah. You should just, you know, start. It's like the SAT, sign your name. You get a certain amount of points for it. In the NFL, typically, you sign your name, you get at least 4 wins on the season. It's just the way it typically works here. Bad football team, good football team, no football team. But also, take a look at the Falcons win twice as many games as the Saints. I don't know if I trust that one. I do think the Falcons win that division in the NFC South, but I don't think the Saints are just going to be trash. So, again, a bad football team is what? 6-7. That's a bad team. 6-7 wins is a bad team here. I don't know if the Falcons are going to win 12-plus games on this season. So if I had to bet, I'm not really high on the Giants, and I think the ceiling on the Jets could be very high. So I'd be willing to go that route with the plus 110. And quite frankly, that's why that's a plus 110 and not the plus 270. Sure. I think that route is a little bit safer to go than the Falcons doubling up on the Saints.
Again, it's kind of chalk in this scenario, yeah. But you have to agree with the plus 110. The Jets win total 9.5. The over has the juice at a minus 168 number. The Giants win total is 6.5. The under has the juice at minus 142. If we follow the juice, 6 wins for the Giants, 10 wins for the Jets. That's not at least twice as many, but it's much closer than the juice for the Falcons and the Saints. 9.5 the win total for Atlanta, 7.5 the win total for New Orleans. Both have juice on the over. 8 wins for the Saints, 10 wins for the Falcons. I don't think New Orleans is going to be great. I don't think they lose more than 10 games. So I think they're a 7-10 football team at bare minimum. You're telling me the Falcons have to then win 14? Not a chance that happens, despite the fact that I agree the Falcons are correctly priced as the favorites to win the NFC South. A division, by the way, that the Bucs won with 9 wins last year, that the Bucs won with 8 wins and a losing record in 2022. I do think there is a chance, and the New York Jets need to get to double-digit wins if they are going to sniff the postseason in the AFC. And I think the Giants could be really bad this year with Daniel Jones. So that's the way that I would look. The Jets, twice as many wins as the Giants. This is a good one, Donnie. The Lions or the Texans to be a conference number one seed? Of course, the Lions, NFC, Texans, AFC at a 3-1 price. Or the Bears and Commanders to go over 19.5 combined wins to get to 20 combined at plus 450. What do you think is the better bet?
It's no question. This one at least is a little bit better than that plus 110, plus 270 split. I'll take the plus 300 here. I'm taking a look at teams I expect to be on the ascension here, which means the Lions will challenge for that number one overall seed, and the Texans will do the same. But you're saying, like, I like the Commanders this year, Ben. I like the Bears this year. But you know what the common denominator between those two football teams are? Rookie quarterbacks getting their starts, and if you just divide it half and half, each one of those teams basically to get around 10 wins, that's tough to do with the rookie, even though we have high expectations. So I'm going to look at that 3-1 price at this point and say, I think that's more than likely, because be honest, would you be shocked if the Bears and the Commanders both had 10 wins? For me, yes. Would you be shocked? Like, oh, look, the Lions are the top seed in the NFC. I'm not shocked by that. Or, boy, nobody saw that coming from the Texans to be the one seed. No, they're going to be a good football team this year. Give me the 3-1 price. Give me the Lions and the Texans. And it's no shade on the Bears and Commanders. I think they're going to have solid football teams, but you're asking rookie quarterbacks basically to win double-digit games right out of the chute.
Donnie, I completely agree with you. It's the 3-1 price on the Lions or the Texans. Listen, I think there's actually a good shot that Detroit could contend for that number one overall seed when all is said and done. We'll talk more about it on the other side of the break, but Detroit tied for the third best price at a 10-1 number alongside Philadelphia and Baltimore for the best regular season record in the National Football League. So we'll continue the conversation with some futures fusion. In one for the mind, not a FanDuel, but Freeza next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Futures Fusion for the 2024 National Football League season. Here's one that we really enjoyed on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Detroit Lions or the Houston Texans to be a number one seed in either the NFC or the AFC, or the Bears and the Commanders to combine for at least 20 wins. Both Donnie and I agree with the 3-1 price on the Lions and the Texans as opposed to the plus 450 price on the Bears and the Commanders. All right, guys, for the second question, you are going with the shorter number, the more likely outcome. But I really do think there's a good chance Detroit could end up as the number one overall seed in the NFC. For the Texans in a more competitive AFC, not so sure, but I do think Detroit can get there. Win total for the Lions, 10.5. The over has the juice. Detroit, an 11-win football team a season ago. I think they can get to 11 or 12 wins to challenge the 49ers, to challenge the Eagles for that number one overall seed. And Detroit DRS, a 10-1 number alongside both the Eagles and the Ravens, tied for the third best price to have the best regular season record in the National Football League this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there's a, by the way, I saw Penei Sewell went down yesterday with a foot injury. Didn't see anything back, so I'm assuming it's really not that big of a deal, hopefully. Otherwise, that news would travel pretty fast. Maybe they're getting some tests today, but that would shake it up just a little bit if he was down for any certain time. But we're expecting monster things out of that offense, and rightfully so. Every component works, from running back to tight end to offensive line to wide receiver to offensive coordinator and quarterback. I love what I see out of the Detroit Lions, so that's something to keep an eye on. But no, we're not going to be surprised when the Lions are there at the end. Quite frankly, they were there at the end last year, and for some questionable calls by the head coach, maybe they would have been standing up at the podium holding up a Lombardi trophy. But it's a new season to get underway, and we wait for that. By the way, talking about fusion here, Ben, I have been to one fusion restaurant. Can you guess, I should say, what that fusion restaurant I used to go to? It's national. It's national. It's fusion, though.
Yeah. It is fusion. Okay. I'm going to say Japanese-Italian. Something crazy.
You know what? You're very close to that. But no, the best fusion restaurant I've eaten at is probably Taco Bell. I'd be like, man, what are you talking about, Taco Bell fusion? The Mexican pizza, pal. Look, combines Italian heritage and Mexican heritage, and it is quite good. But, again, as I said, I don't really like fusion. Man. Just give me the pizza itself. But the Mexican pizza was very underrated when I was growing up. It was very underrated.
So let me ask, from Donnie Wrightside's perspective, what is your heritage again? You were saying Italian and what?
Yeah. It's I got Italian in me, I got English in me, I got German in me, and then it's a real big question and a fight in the family whether I got Cuban in me or Spanish in me. So that's a big fight over here. So maybe
some
you might
would
never
say
know
the
that.
Right side family is from Cuba. The other would say the Seymour family is from
it's
Spain.
A big
you
fight,
never.
Man. It's a big fight.
Really, really big fight. I guess in a way I've had fusion before as well. Japanese Italian would be like a tuna taco. You ever had that fried crispy rice?
Oh, what?
With spicy tuna on top, fantastic. Oh,
no.
That's not Italian.
No,
tuna taco would be Japanese Mexican. All right. Anyway, enough for that fusion. And by the way, as Donnie said, when we were debating Lions to be the one seed in the NFC or the Texans to be the one seed in the AFC, a better bet than the Bears and the Commanders with the two rookie quarterbacks that went 1-2 off the board in Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, I would actually bet or advocate for betting both the Bears and the Commanders over their season win total. 8.5 for Chicago, juice on the over. 6.5 for Washington, juice on the over. But for those two teams to combine to get 20 wins seems a little bit steep this year. You would need the Bears, if you follow the odds, to get to 11 or 12, really far exceeding, and even the Commanders at that point to have 8 or 9 just seems a little bit too steep for both. Speaking of Chicago, they are a part of our doubleheader on this Thursday night to kick off week number 3 of the NFL preseason. But we do not expect to see Caleb Williams for the Bears. And although he played in the first 2 preseason games for Kansas City, we do not expect to see Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs. The first ones were actual bets on the FanDuel Sportsbook in terms of those futures fusion. This one from the mind of our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friezo. Patrick Mahomes wins either the regular season or Super Bowl MVP hardware, or Caleb Williams wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. What is the better bet?
Yeah, usually you're never going to take the rookie quarterback, Ben, but in this instance, I'm going to take the rookie quarterback here because let's understand one thing. You have to be the single best player in the entire league to win the MVP. Can Mahomes do it? Absolutely. But also, we understand there's always a bias out there where it's like, look, anybody that comes close to Patrick Mahomes, we'd love to give it to the other person as opposed to Patrick Mahomes. That's just the way it is. And even if it isn't is a guarantee that that always happens, we understand that the human psychology works that way. Let's give it to somebody else and somebody we don't see every single year. Then again, you're going to win a Super Bowl. That's hard to do. And say, well, Donnie, we watch you every day here. Come on and say, you don't care about the rest of the NFL as long as Mahomes is healthy. It's still extremely hard to get every break during the regular season to wind up in the Super Bowl and win it. Now, granted, Caleb Williams coming in here, sure, there's a lot of other rookies that are very good that are going to get a lot of playing time this year. But when I just look at the setup for him, the success level and the success rate of him being a dynamic quarterback, rushing the football, making those splash plays, which are so important. Like, you want your Heisman moment. You say, hey, I don't know who I'm going to give it to. Wow, did you see that guy with that super highlight last week in a big game? Highlights matter in this environment, because as much as we want to say beat writers are voting on it, they're not just watching every Chicago Bears game. A lot of the times they're waiting their own things. Like, oh, what did Caleb do? 18 of 23, 275 yards, 2 touchdowns and interception. But did you see that unbelievable play that he had? So I would actually be willing to go with Caleb Williams winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year over Patrick Mahomes being an MVP and or Super Bowl champion.
Completely agree. Listen, if the Chiefs win a third consecutive Super Bowl, which has never happened in the history of the National Football League, Patrick Mahomes is going to win Super Bowl MVP. The 3 Lombardi trophies that the Chiefs have with Mahomes, he has taken home the hardware as the Super Bowl MVP as well. He has 2 regular season MVP awards in 2018 and in 2022. We'll see if he makes that 3 in a row. I appreciate the question. But again, the odds do stack up, and they favor Caleb Williams. Mahomes is the favorite to win the NFL MVP award entering 2024 at a plus 450 number. The Chiefs are co-favorites to win Super Bowl 59 at a 6-1 price. So again, there's a really good chance that Mahomes can accomplish one of those 2 things that we just showed you on your screen. But Caleb Williams is a plus 120 favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Plus 120, and Jaden Daniels has the second best number at 6-1. Oftentimes, DRS, most NFL seasons before the year gets underway, I would actually advocate for not betting on a quarterback to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, despite their short numbers, because as we have seen in this award, oftentimes a quarterback doesn't win it. In the last 10 years, only 4 QBs have won it, but C.J. Stroud did so last year in 2023. 3 of the last 5 winners, in fact, have played the quarterback position. But the reason the margin of winning Offensive Rookie of the Year can be tough for a quarterback is if you are drafted early in your rookie year, you often go to a bad team that won 5-6 games the year before, and you are expected to win maybe 6 or 7 the following season in your rookie campaign. Not the case for Chicago. Expected to be a winning football team, expected to contend for an NFC playoff spot, and if Caleb Williams can get the Bears even close to that, he's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, and he should, and I think he will, and I think he deserves to be the favorite because everything's setting up around him. He hasn't proved us wrong. Like, hey, man, watch the preseason, and, you know, the beat writers from camp saying he has a terrible camp. That's not the case here. Ultra-talented and expected to do so, but also keep in mind, you know, last year Lamar Jackson wins the NFL MVP. Now you take a look at Patrick Mahomes, who's coming back this year with an even better offense with a lot more tools to work with. So he's certainly going to be reinvigorated and also doing something that nobody's ever done. You know, and I should have said, what's the last time we had a 3-time Super Bowl champion? I don't think it's happened, right? We've never had back-to-back-to-back. No. So history is on the horizon for them as well. Something to look forward to also.
So is preseason week 3. We break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Preseason week 3 around the National Football League gets started tonight with a doubleheader of games in Arrowhead Stadium between the Chiefs and the Bears, and first up the Bengals and the Colts in Cincy. But because we just debated Caleb Williams versus Patrick Mahomes, not who's the better quarterback, as some flag football guys might have been saying, but who has a better shot of winning hardware in their associated markets this year, we start in KC. Now, if you are a preseason hater, congrats. Week 3 is going to suck. It does not look very good around the National Football League, but it still is football. And I also say congrats because it's the final week of preseason football, which means that after this weekend, teams around training camp make their final roster decisions. And then it's game week in the National Football League because exactly 2 weeks from today, the true regular season starts inside Arrowhead Stadium between the Chiefs and the Ravens. So, it's still football, although we are not going to see the starters really on either side. No Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, no Caleb Williams for the Bears. It's a 1.5-point spread in favor of Chicago, minus 125 on the money line. And as you will see, if you go up and down the FanDuel Sportsbook for the preseason week 3 lines all weekend long, the totals are very, very small. 32.5, the number tonight in Kansas City.
And that's where it should be because, you know, much like games 1 and 2, you're still trying to figure out who's going to make the roster, who you got to get some gameplay for. You got to maybe, you know, break them in before the season starts. Game number 3, quite frankly, is the old game number 4, where you're so much closer to the season that your only goal is to not put anything on tape that an opposing team can use. And number 2, not getting anybody injured who even might be playing in week number 1, which means you get a lot of backups. They're going to get a chance to shine out there with very vanilla game plans and the clock running all the way through. That's why you're getting a low number like a 32.5, because it's basically about the backup quarterbacks. And quite frankly, I don't even know if Kansas City is like, hey, Carson Wentz, let this be your game, because that might actually be pretty decent. He's been a quarterback in the NFL. And Bajan has started some football games for the Chicago Bears. So if they're getting the majority of the time, maybe you can see an over 32 because you'll give them something to work with and chew on because you don't expect them to play in the regular season. You want to get them their reps now. But that line is telling you that Chicago and Kansas City aren't caring about this football game. So we'll see what we get out of the quarterback position. But the only rule of thumb in week 3 right now is don't get anybody injured. That's it.
For sure. And Donnie, it's so interesting to see, right? Because in certain spots in week number 2, it was almost treated as the end of preseason around the NFL. We didn't see Josh Allen, although he played in week number 1. We didn't see Joe Burrow out there for the Bengals, although he played in week number 1. We thought, just based on where the landscape is around the National Football League, that week 2 would be the most we see starters. Not necessarily the case. I don't expect to see really any starters week number 3 unless there is still an ongoing quarterback battle. Looking at you, the Steelers on Saturday in Detroit and the Patriots, who I believe play in the triple header on Friday night. No, the Patriots are actually later in the weekend. Where is New England? Oh, Sunday. In one of the 3 games that we have on Sunday to round out the preseason week number 3. With that being said, it might not be a battle for starting jobs at stake this week. It's making the roster. It's earning a backup role. 32.5 is a small total. If you watched Hard Knocks, if you watched the Bears in preseason week number 2, Tyson Bagent was slinging it, and the offense was moving. The Chiefs put up 24 points or 23 points as well in the highest scoring game against the Lions in week number 2. Now, it's hard to advocate from when we see reserves from the very start that you could see even 33 points tonight, but 32.5 is such a minimal total. As we look at the scope for both of these teams entering 2024, 2 teams we have discussed and debated at a lot of times throughout this NFL offseason and now into preseason. The Bears expected to be a winning team. They have a minus money price to make the playoffs. The Rams a slightly better number for what would be the 7th best price to see the NFC postseason. The Chiefs, the win total is 11.5. Last year, only 11 games, but in the previous 4 years in Kansas City, at least 12 wins to win the division. For a 9th consecutive season, it's a minus 270 price. I expect the Chiefs to be back at the pantheon that we have seen in all 6 years with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback.
Yep, win your division, which means you get a minimum of 1 home playoff game, and probably means for the Chiefs this year they'll have home field advantage, which again is so crazy. I know I keep on belaboring this point last year. Get the Chiefs out of Arrowhead. The NFL, you should have said the AFC did that last year and still wasn't able to knock down Kansas City as they won the championship once again. But also, a key point here, Chicago and Kansas City playing. If you are watching Hard Knocks, now I don't watch the episodes all the way through. If it's on TV, I'll watch for a couple minutes. But you know what I did catch? The home game, which the Chicago Bears played for the preseason, you know, Caleb Williams was excited to be out there, said he wasn't nervous. That wasn't the focal point for me. If you focused on the backup quarterbacks with Tyson Bagent talking to the other kid, which who's their 3rd string quarterback?
Austin Reed.
That he would have been talking to. Austin Reed talking to him. And Bagent goes, I got 81 people here. So I had to buy 81 tickets at $100 a pop. You say, what are you, crazy? Number 1, you don't make starter money particularly. Why would you spend that much? Because he understands he's never going to be the starting quarterback in Chicago again. So any playing time he gets now, the family will be there. So you can sort of cycle out into Kansas City, where as much as we talk about players that starters don't really care about the game, this is some of these players' Super Bowl out here. And that was referenced. Like, why would you pay 81 tickets here to come see a preseason game? Because, hey, I'm going to get to play, and the family wants to see me play, and I'm going to take this seriously. So still something to keep an eye out for with the Chicago Bears, that -1.5 favorite. I don't know if Carson Wentz is paying 81 tickets to get into a preseason game, but you know those Bears quarterbacks who won't be playing at all this season, probably going to be pretty excited for that. But again, Chiefs, they're going to win their division. I expect them to make a run into the Super Bowl again. But this preseason game, maybe it's the Bears' backups that might shine a little bit brighter.
Yeah, I agree with the odds expectations for both of these teams. And I expect them to live up to what we anticipate in 2024. But it's one of the reasons, Donnie, outside of the season outlook, because we'll start to focus on that even more next week, that you do love preseason football, because it's not the starters, it's not the prettiest brand of football, but for these guys that might not play throughout the regular season, or for guys trying to earn a job and a spot on the 53-man roster, this is the Super Bowl tonight. And it carries that significance. We will go to the first game of the evening in Cincinnati as well, between the Bengals and Colts up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader of NFL preseason football to kick off week number three, the third and final tonight. We talked about the second game of the evening. It starts about 20 minutes after the first game in Cincinnati. The Chiefs and the Bears will end out the night. The first game up is the Bengals and the Colts. Much like we talked about in Arrowhead, we do not expect to see a ton of starters tonight on either side. The Colts a 6.5-point favorite against the Bengals. The over-under 34.5. It is a large spread, which makes me wonder about Anthony Richardson trying to earn all of those game reps for Indianapolis. I'll dive in to see if Shane Steichen gave us a hint at all. But I will say this, DRS, in terms of the joint practices this week in Cincy between the Colts and the Bengals, apparently there has been some jarring between both sides, where the Bengals defense has had some very harsh words for AR, and that he has not performed very well in the joint practices. Of course, Anthony Richardson, only 4 games last year, only completed 2 in his rookie season before it was cut very short with season-ending shoulder surgery.
Yeah, I can't imagine he'll play in that game tonight, which, again, you're looking at the battle of the backup quarterback. So if you take a look and say, all right, Cincinnati, who do you have? Logan Woodside and basically Rocky Lombardi tonight getting that, you know, first half, second half split, whatever it might be. But if you look at the Colts, if it is Joe Flacco, if it is Sam Ehlinger, if it is Slovis and Bean, I think those backups much better than Cincinnati's backups overall, which is why you're seeing that price point at a -6.5. And maybe it does mean that you're going to get a series or two out of Anthony Richardson. I haven't looked to see exactly who the starter is going to be. It'd be crazy if he was actually getting extra time, but you can't fault, let's just say, Shane Steichen for saying, I want to play this guy. It's like, hey, let's just hope. He didn't play really last year, so you want to get him into the fold as many times as you can. And I understand why NFL teams do look at those joint practices much more than the actual game itself for the preseason. But that 6.5 tells you one team is actually going to take this a little bit more serious than the other team, and that's the way I'm going to lean. I think the Colts have the better quarterbacking situation all the way through tonight as opposed to the Cincinnati Bengals.
So here's what we got from our producer, Joe Friezo, which I believe is correct. Friezo, this is 1.5 for the starters is the plan for Indianapolis tonight on the road in Cincinnati. I do not think we will see Joe Burrow. He did not play in week number 2. The Bengals much more comfortable with their rotation and roster, perhaps, than Indianapolis. This was the exact quote from Shane Steichen. Quote, some guys might play less, some guys might play more, but want to get those guys out there and run around on Thursday night, Steichen said. Obviously, you want to be smart with these guys in the preseason because we got a long season ahead of us, but we're excited to get those guys out there on Thursday, end quote. That's a whole lot of nothing out of Steichen, but apparently the plan is at least a quarter for the Colts starters tonight in Cincinnati.
That means a scoring drive. That's basically coach's speak right there, which means he's giving himself some leeway. I told you they're going to play for a quarter and a half. Now they go, like, let's just say Russell Wilson had or even Caleb Williams. Hey, look, man, I'm not pulling this guy out of here after three straight three and outs. Like, we're going to go on a scoring drive. So that's basically what he's saying. And quite frankly, if Anthony Richardson gets four series against backups and they don't score any points, that's not going to be a great look. So that's basically what he's telling you. No. Get him out there on the first drive, seven plays, 7-8 yards and a touchdown. Anthony Richardson, that first team offense, will not be on the field anymore. Until they score, that's when they're coming out of the football game.
I thought it was fascinating watching Hard Knocks to hear Matt Eberflus talk through the process of what he was saying to his coaching staff in the headset after Caleb Williams' second drive of the game. They had had 14 offensive plays. So he said they wanted to get to 20 one more drive. I wonder if there is a pitch or play count for Anthony Richardson, who did not play in week number two. Neither did the veteran backup in Joe Flacco. It was all the young guys, Sam Ellinger, Jason Bean, Keaton Slovis for Indianapolis. I would expect to see a lot of them. The Colts actually have been a pretty good scoring team throughout the preseason. 30 week number one and a loss to the Broncos. 21 week number two without AR or Flacco on the field. Yeah. Would not expect a ton out of the Bengals. Just want to say this. If you believe in the fact that Anthony Richardson will play a drive or two, and that is the plan, you can always look at the first half line. The Colts are a 3.5-point favorite in the first half. If you want to lay the money, minus 260 or maybe a first half total over 17.5. Here is the outlook for both teams in 2024. Again, we have spoken about this a ton. The Bengals win total 10.5. They are favored to make the postseason at minus 250. Second best price, but ever so slightly behind the Ravens in the AFC North. The Colts, much more of an intriguing team, I think, with that win total of 8.5. A 9-win football team a year ago, but that was really without Anthony Richardson and Gardner Minshew. Power 3 comes your way up next.